Year after year, one of the most consistent items on my Do Something list is to have fun with fashion. Exploring my personal style has added more joy to my everyday life and helped me feel more like myself on the regular. However, I have found that there are some brands I would love to explore more, but they are out of my typical price range. Or there's the it item that I would love to try out, but without the commitment of keeping it. Enter Armoire. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I just did my quiz and have selected a few dresses for the summer from Boden, one of my favorite brands that I can't typically afford. And I also got a double-breasted black blazer from a new-to-me designer, a classic item that I have been on the hunt for but too scared to commit to until I know it's the one. For you expecting mamas, for those who are working, or those who are style-obsessed, who want to switch out your wardrobe with quality pieces without the designer prices, check out this woman-owned company that has your style and your sustainability in mind. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/progress. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/progress to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Monica Packer, and you're listening to About Progress, where we are about progress made practical. Do you ever feel that you work for your home, not the other way around? I definitely can feel this way, especially when maintaining my home's systems and how they not only weigh on my mind and take up lots of time, but they are never fully done. Just think about floors. You have to sweep, vacuum, and mop, and it never ends. As a young stay-at-home mom, my work in the home felt like a day on repeat, one that involved endless tasks that got undone almost immediately after I finished doing them. I felt like I was living my own version of the movie Groundhog Day, and honestly, that eventually made me feel a little to a lot resentful. I don't carry that same resentment now toward my home responsibilities, but it's not because I suddenly like them or I have every system down, and it's also not because my family is now really good at cleaning up everything and taking care of themselves. It's because I have fully accepted that my work in the home will never be done. With that acceptance also comes a more gentle approach to cleaning and maintaining my home. Is it as clean as I'd personally prefer it to be at all times? Absolutely not. I promise you, I notice all the dust that I have yet to dust and all the things on the floor that I need to mop again. But I can tell you, I am better able to prioritize the areas and systems that matter most and let go of the rest most of the time. If you're at the point of needing a no-shame approach to maintaining your home, an approach that focuses on practical and supportive tips, not Pinterest-perfect tips, then you will love today's interview with Casey Davis from Struggle Care. Casey and I talk about her own story in shifting her approach to home management and her relationship with her home and why we have one too. We also talk about why it's hard, but also essential to have a functional home and doable ways that you can get creative about the cleaning and organizing systems in your home. Not so you're always running ragged, but so you aren't. It's time to make your home work better for you. Casey Davis is a licensed professional counselor, author, speaker, and the person behind the mental health platform Struggle Care. Casey's compassionate and practical approach to self and home care for those dealing with mental health, physical illness, and hard seasons of life has drawn over 1 million followers in less than a year. Her book, How to Keep House While Drowning, was an Amazon bestseller. Professionally, Casey has worked most of her career in the field of addiction in roles such as a therapist, consultant, and executive director. She lives in Houston with her husband and 2 daughters and is a podcaster at Struggle Care. That's all coming up, but first, a quick break for our sponsors. It is officially spring, and I know because my tulips blossomed and they are gorgeous. I'm plotting out my garden, I'm getting all my seeds in a row, and it is so thrilling to feel like the world is starting anew. And with that comes a fresh start in so many areas in my life, and I'm sure for you too. As part of those fresh starts, I include my do something list. It's time for me to brush it off and also reset it in ways that need to, and to recommit to certain items on my list that I know I am ready to prioritize. If you want to work on your do something list or make yours for the very first time, it is never too late. You can get a free training to support that process by going to aboutprogress.com/DSL. Again, that stands for do something list, and it's aboutprogress.com/DSL.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Casey Davis, welcome to About Progress.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I feel like it's really rare to find someone out there who has a not all or nothing approach to cleaning an organization. It's so black and white online that it can become very demoralizing and also an impossible standard where you just keep hitting yourself over the head with a shame stick that you can't be this Pinterest kind of perfect in maintaining your home. So today we're going to be talking about how to have a gentle approach to anything home maintenance, whether it's cleaning or organizing or anything in between. But I wanted to start a bit more with your story and how maybe you also fell for what I just shared of thinking that you were somehow morally a failure because you weren't able to have a Pinterest perfect home. So what was that story like for you?
So it's interesting, like I've looked back on sort of the journey of my life, and a lot of what it has to do with is I'm not someone who would, I used to say, oh, I'm not a perfectionist, because I'm not a perfectionist when I'm painting something or when I was doing homework, or I didn't need things to be perfectly organized. But what I was a moral perfectionist.
Huh.
Like anything that had to do with being a good person, being an ethical person, like being a good mother, like that to me, I felt like I had to be perfect. And I think it stemmed from, I had a really severe drug addiction when I was a teenager, and I was sent to a troubled teen rehab. And I spent 1.5 years inpatient.
Wow.
And when I left there, I joined some support recovery groups. But there was this real emphasis on behavior modification and like being a good person and not being selfish and not, you know, being entitled and arrogant and all of these kind of like moral characteristics that sometimes get attached to addiction, and which is fair. I sure was arrogant and selfish a lot of the time, right? But there was just this almost oppressive culture of always be growing, always be looking at your motives, always be, and don't get me wrong, it's good to be self-aware and I really needed that, but it went beyond self-awareness and to almost obsessive navel gazing. Like every decision I made, I had to be like, was that right? Was that wrong? Was that selfish? Should I have done that better? And I mean, that continued up until my like early 20s before I finally took a step back and was like, this is driving me insane.
I mean, how could it not? I mean, I think about even the teenagers in my life and how they don't have that skill set. But to be in such a vulnerable age, to have that perspective forced in you, that would be very transformative, but not in the best way, you know, to the cell level. So how did that come out then in terms of home management as an adult?
Well, I think one of the things that happened when I was getting sober was, you know, they were looking at these characteristics about me, that I was messy, that I didn't want to shower, that I did all of these things. I didn't brush my hair. And there was a lot of focus on this needs to be fixed, right? We want you to shower every morning and we want you to do chores every morning. We want you to learn how to clean things and learn how to be responsible. And so it kind of gave this black and white, these are the things you do that are irresponsible and they're tied to your immaturity and your addiction. And so we want to get you healthy, this like healthy member of society. And that part of that will be learning to be very responsible when it comes to doing your laundry and keeping things picked up and cleaning and things like that. And I think what happened was I got sober, I got out of rehab, and then I stayed sober. And I did like embrace this journey of therapy and healing. And I was very much like a different person in a different place. And I was still messy.
Yeah.
I still didn't really do my laundry a lot. And I still put off, you know, washing my hair for days at a time. And I think I just sort of slowly realized one day, oh, maybe being that messy, scatterbrained person isn't the moral failing I always thought it was.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing pretty good in life in terms of looking at my actions and growing and changing and healing. And maybe this is just a part of my personality.
And I feel like that's something you've had more answers to as an adult, isn't that right? Like actual, real, legit answers that go beyond just my personality.
Yeah, like I got diagnosed with ADHD when I was 35, and all of a sudden it was like, there's a reason why I will take the milk out to pour my kids a drink, and then I'll hand it to them, and then I'll walk out of the kitchen and not even think about the fact that I didn't put anything away until I see it next. There's a reason why I, you know, as much as everyone's been like, well, just, you know, just pick up after yourself. Just never set anything down. Just always put it away when you take it out. I would try to do those things, but it would take so much concentration that I was exhausted at the end of the day. And I was like, this is not sustainable to be someone who, before you leave the room, make sure you put three things away. My brain just, it would never go to a place of, oh, now it's a habit. Now it's automatic. And I realized that that was because of ADHD. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until I had my second baby that things really became kind of not functional in my home, where it was like, there's nothing wrong with being messy, but I still deserve to have a functioning space. And it's not functioning anymore. You know, our laundry can't get done and things are so messy. We're tripping over ourselves and I'm not happy with the state of it. And so having to approach like, hey, I want something different, but from a different place than I need to be different and better because this is bad, was really new to me.
That's a big shift to go from I need to do these things in order to be this kind of person to I need to do those same things, but because it supports me as a person.
Yeah, I deserve to have a functional space and I don't have to go about it the way that other people do that have different kinds of brains. I had tried that, right? Just pick this. And so I had to start thinking creatively about, okay, what would work for me? And at first it was really simple things. I realized I just need like a bigger trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to have a laundry basket in every room of the house, because when people would say, well, if you get clothes everywhere, just, you know, tell yourself that as soon as you take off your clothes, you take them to the laundry room or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'm never going to do that. And instead of beating myself up about, I'm never going to do that because I'm such a lazy person, being like, I'm not going to do that. So let's think of something else. And the something else was like, what if I just had a laundry basket in every room so that I can put it into the laundry basket as soon as it comes off me or my kids' clothes, right? What if I just had a bigger trash can, because I'm someone who's not going to take the trash out every day, but if I had a bigger trash can, I wouldn't need to. You know what I mean? It was like simple things like that. I'm never going to be someone that picks up as I go, but I found ways to deal with, okay, so don't think about it, but then when it's time to pick everything up, come up with a way to be able to do it all at once. Does that make sense? I can't multitask. I can't think about making dinner and think about picking up dinner. I can think about what I'm doing, and then, you know, after a couple of days, I can be like, oh, things aren't functional. Let's take 45 minutes and get it functional again. And once I found out ways to like get over that feeling of being overwhelmed and find approaches that work for me, all of a sudden my home started being functional again in a way that was sustainable, that didn't feel like I was like cosplaying as somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No trad wife cosplaying. Necessary. And you know, your approach is so gentle, but I would also describe it as creative because it wasn't about the prescriptions that other people were putting on you and everyone like you and me. It was more about what works for me. And that was the one question I feel like we all just need to start with. What would work for me to have a more functional home or a more functional laundry system or a more functional cleanup system? So we're going to get to some of those more practical tips, because even those right there, I'm like, oh, tell us more on those. But first, let's talk about our relationship with our home and how it's less about a relationship with the space. And it's more reflective of a relationship to ourselves. You talk about how we have a relationship with our home. I just want to hear more about that. Why do you think we have this relationship and what's going on there?
Well, what I noticed is that a lot of resources out there about cleaning or minimalism or organization, like they tend to talk about like your relationship to your house and your stuff and almost like anthropomorphizing your stuff. And it was like, it's really shamey to me. I remember one time listening to someone say, you know, when I stare at this unmade laundry, it's like my laundry is telling me that I haven't been responsible today or something, right? Or, you know, your home is a reflection of your mind. And if your home is messy, it's because your mind is messy or like things like that. One time I had a really messy house in my video and someone was like, have some self-respect. Huh. Like that it's about how much you respect yourself and all these things. And so to me, that was very shaming. And what I know about shame is that it is the opposite of what you need when you're trying to get unstuck. No one has ever shamed themselves into better functioning or better mental health or better skills. And so I had to flip that and be like, okay, what kind of relationship really works? And I finally came up with this like paradigm shift, which I don't exist to serve my house. Hmm. My house exists to serve me. Hmm. And so I get to stage my home and set up my systems in a way that best works for me. I was a stay-at-home mom and you know, my job was like laundry and dishes and things. And it's okay, well, I signed up to make sure that my kids always have clean laundry. I did not sign up to make sure they never had dirty laundry. And I had to go to that gray place, like things aren't black and white. Things aren't done or not done. Things aren't good or bad. They're functional or they're not functional. And there's all sorts of space even in between those. So like when I realized, okay, I can't seem to get laundry done. What's the step that's stopping me? Well, it's the folding. I hate folding laundry. And so I would procrastinate that. And yes, it might be valid to say, let's figure out why we procrastinate it and find out these tools for, you know, doing that step and da, da, da. Or what if I just stopped folding laundry? What if I just went right from take it out of the dryer to put it in the drawers? And then all of a sudden, I didn't have any issue getting laundry done. And my clothes were organized and I knew where they were. And it was a lot of stress taken off of my shoulders because I changed the system to work for me instead of changing myself to work for the system.
So what I love so much about what you share is it's not prescriptive. And what's hard about what you share is that it's not prescriptive. Because we can't spend the rest of our time saying, well, here's the ways that you are going to keep house. But we can't give them more principles and principles that you came to after the birth of your second child and realizing your home wasn't functional. So I want to talk about those principles that are going to help them figure this out for themselves. What are my own prescriptions? How can I create a functional home that is matched with me? But can you first start with how would people know if their home is not functional? Because they might be over-moralizing even that word, functional,
yeah,
and might be thinking, well, I have a messy room somewhere in the mm-hmm. house. Or someone else might think non-functional is the whole house is chaotic. So how can they define that for themselves, that something is functional or not?
So I would think of it as a spectrum, and it's going to be unique to every person. So I would say that the baseline functioning that really kind of applies to everybody is safe and sanitary.
Okay.
Right? Like spaces need to be safe and sanitary. And then beyond that, it's your comfort level. Are you able to use the space in the way that you would like to use the space? And so my example to that is if I have so many things on my countertop that I go to make lunch and I'm looking at it and I'm stressed out, okay? And I'm not talking about I'm stressed out because so much stuff out makes me anxious. I'm talking about I'm stressed out because there is physically not room on the counter for me to make this, right? Then I would call that not a functional counter space, because a counter space is for doing things on top of it. And if there's so much stuff on it that I can't do things on top of it, now it's not functional. Mm-hmm. When I think about laundry, the point of the laundry cycle is to create clean clothes. So if you're creating clean clothes, then it's functioning. Now, there might be parts of it that still bring you stress. Like for 8 months after my second was born, it's okay, we have clean clothes, but I could get them like washed and dried, and then I would pull them and they would sit on the floor of the laundry room in a big, clean, wrinkly pile.
Yeah.
And every day I would be like searching through it for clean clothes. Now, was that functional or not functional? Well, I mean, it's a spectrum. It is safe. It is sanitary. It is producing clean clothes. Now, they're wrinkled and it is stressful for me to find them.
Yeah.
Right? So, but baseline, it is kind of baseline functional. And so I don't have to stress about it's bad, I need to fix it, unless I'm at a place where I go, you know what? Man, I would love for the experience of getting clothes in the morning to be less stressful. And then I can begin to think about, I could make it more functional. What if I put all of these clothes into baskets instead of drawers? So it was easier for me to see, I don't worry about folding them. And then what if I even brought them all into a family closet? So instead of going to three different closets to, you know, change myself and then change my two-year-old and then change my four-year-old, what if I just had one closet where all of our clothes were? So we went to one place, changed, and wow, that's really functional for me, right? So it's various different steps. I would say it's like your health and safety, and then it's your comfort, and then it's your pleasure, and then it's like removing layers of stress from your life. It might be functional for you to have dishes in the sink, unless it gets to the point where it's not sanitary, like there's, you know, maybe stuff growing. Or sometimes I'll get to where I can't use the sink very well because there's such a mound of dishes and I go, okay, this isn't functional anymore. It's not as if we want to replace good and bad with functional, unfunctional, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. As if you're only worthy if your space is functional. It's more about thinking like, what is my experience with this space and with this task? And the last thing I want to say is that it is about parts of the house. My home is functional. That does not change the fact that we have a study that is not a functional study. Like we moved in, we shoved those books in there. There is one clear little corner where my husband's desk is that he sits, but it functions as far as a place for him to sit and work. It doesn't function as a study. We need to get in there and it's kind of like a storage space.
Yeah.
But that's not like making my home in general unfunctional to where like my family can't function in our home. So it's not black and white, but I think when we think about how to think about it, it's not about getting it right. It's about giving yourself a framework for looking at your space.
Much more after a quick break. I really love teaching. I've been able to go back to my daughter's seventh grade class and teach writing, and it's been so fulfilling. And I've already been able to touch into that fulfillment through my live online course, The Sticky Habit Intensive. This is our 21-day live course, community, and habit challenge for busy women who also want real transformation in their lives, especially with some supportive habits. As I'm teaching these women face-to-face, virtually of course, I'm able to see real transformation in their lives. We've had some women who have joined the intensive, who are in the middle of a move and have ADHD, and who have still been able to not only complete the intensive, but participate in a way where their habits were making changes too. I've had other women who have tried to work on certain habits for years, but thanks to our 21 days together, they finally created that habit in ways that stick. Like exercise, journaling, meditating, and so much more. If you would like to join us in our next Sticky Habit Intensive, go to aboutprogress.com/intensive and either sign up or join the waitlist if we're in between enrollment periods. Again, that's aboutprogress.com/intensive.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You know, I often speak about how women must do habits differently. And one of the biggest reasons why is simply biology. In other words, hormones. Our hormones are a real factor to how we feel physically, mentally, and emotionally, and they constantly change day to day and year to year as we age. My friends warned me that the hormone roller coaster gets harder as we get older, and they were right. From worse PMS to more aggravating period symptoms to all the things that come with perimenopause and menopause. If you're wanting help with that hormone roller coaster, I want you to check out today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth, and their supplement, Hormone Harmony, a bottle of which is sold every 24 seconds with over 17,000 reviews. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like the chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible perimenopause and menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and so much more. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. If you want to feel more like yourself, make sure you go to Happy Mammoth and find Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PROGRESS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PROGRESS for 15% off today. And that framework is what I think can be so transformational for the women who are listening, because like we shared, it's not a binary framework. It's your personal framework. I feel like you already shared some principles there, you know, of thinking about what is my experience with this space or this task. We can start there. What else can they do from here if they're ready to really make their home work better for them instead of them working for their home?
So one of my big things is like, good enough is perfect. Like, we don't have to strive for this like Pinterest level aesthetic home. We don't have to strive for everything being done at the same time.
Yeah.
Thinking about care tasks like dishes or laundry or even picking things up as a cycle, right? Okay. And so there are like various points in that cycle where maybe a dish is in the sink and then a dish is in the dishwasher and then a dish is being waiting to be put up and then the dish is in the counter and then the dish is on being used. Like, it's okay for a dish to be anywhere in that cycle. We just want to find a way to kind of tend to the turning of that cycle that works for us. And everyone's different there. There are people out there that do not want a dirty dish in their sink at any point in time. And that cycle moves very quickly. There are other people where it's, man, it'll be days before we go through a full cycle of all the dishes getting washed, right? And the key is, you don't want to be turning those cycles so quickly that you're exhausted and stressed out and you can never sit down and you can never live and you can never recreate. But you don't want them so turning them so slowly that they don't function. You don't, you know, you're going to eat and you don't have any forks,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think this idea of, you know, there's going to be a great deal of people listening that are like, oh, this is really helpful and I want to get things more functional. But there's also sometimes reasons why we are struggling with care tasks that kind of go beyond just, oh, let go of some perfectionism, where we're struggling with depression or burnout or grief or we're postpartum or any of these things. And my other sort of like principle is that you can't save the rainforest if you're depressed.
Mm.
And it doesn't have to be depression. You can put in anything there if you're chronically ill or these things where we sometimes get into this like eco-perfectionism where like we are drowning in dishes. It's not functional. It's a source of stress every day. We're crying over how overwhelmed we are, but we're resisting just getting some paper plates. Maybe you need to have paper plates for a season.
Yeah.
Because we feel so guilty about the environment.
Mm-hmm. In our community, we speak to anti-perfectionists. And one of the subset of our population is always surprised to learn they're perfectionists because they would say they absolutely are not. Because they're stuck in a holding pattern. Because they're waiting for the time, energy, or even money to do all. That they stay stuck in the nothing. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because something that helps the whole spectrum of perfectionists in our community is the idea to do something. Not do all and not stay in the nothing. It's to do something. And with that, I would love any do something tips that you have that are your go-tos that have helped you around the home. I mean, you talked about getting a big garbage can, like something like that. What are some do something steps that they could adopt right now that are kind of out of the box, you know?
Yeah. So another one that's my favorite is I got a grabber.
Oh, yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah. And then I also have a stool that's on wheels. Like it's the kind that you would use like as a mechanic. And I find that so great because there were so many times where I know I needed to pick things up, but like I was so exhausted from kids all day and my back kind of hurt. And it was like the idea of bending over 1,000 times and then you'd be like, oh, I'm so lazy. And it's okay. Laziness does not exist. It's normal to be tired after running around with kids. But if I could walk around and I put my trash can on wheels also, if I could just walk around and pull my trash can and pick it up with my grabber, all of a sudden it went from being this really kind of awful experience of cleaning that I had to kind of like psych myself up into to this actually kind of fine. Like I'd pop in my AirPods, I'd put on a podcast, I'd kind of pull my little trash can behind and my little grabber, right? In our family closet, once I got a stool that I could sit on and roll back and forth as I was putting clothes away, I was like, oh, this is kind of nice.
Kind of fun.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like small things like that. There were so many different things with dishes that mm-hmm. I've talked about with people. I have a dishwasher, but I got a drying rack, and that was like my dirty dish rack.
Oh, yeah.
Because what I realized is I get overwhelmed by the chaos of all the dishes in the sink. But if I like organize the dirty dishes before I load them up, then I don't feel as overwhelmed. It's almost like one step instead of multi-steps. I'm never going to be someone that goes and puts it directly into the dishwasher. However, if I put it in the dirty dish rack, and yes, they're dirty, but it's like, you're looking at it and just from a visual standpoint, it's less overwhelming because it's like plate, 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 bowl, 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 stacked on top of it. It's like it all of a sudden you go and it's, oh, this isn't that many dishes. I can just do this real quick. It's simple things like that. It's small steps like that. And if you wanted to get even smaller, if you're really, really struggling, it's okay. What if like before you put a dish in the sink, you just decided you were always going to rinse it off? Because there's a big difference in how overwhelmed you feel, both from a cognitive perspective, but from a sensory perspective, if it's a dish full of clear, like kind of wet dishes versus a sink full of, you know, at the bottom, there's like wet bread mm-hmm. and there's like gross tactile and gross smells. And so that one small shift of you do not need to go from we just chuck it into the sink to now we're the family that puts it immediately into the dishwasher because what's going to happen is you're going to open it and it's going to be clean. You're going to get overwhelmed. You're gonna, right.
Yeah.
Just small, tiny little steps. Small, tiny little steps. I think people, I've worked with people before that, you know, they're having trouble even getting out of bed some days, whether it's from pain or sickness or mental health issues. And, you know, they're having trouble getting in the shower. And we talk about how the point of a shower is to be clean. So stop thinking so hard about how to get yourself in the shower and start thinking about how you can get clean,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether it's a sensory issue or it's an ADHD issue or it's a pain or mobility or standing. So, you know, if it's standing and you get lightheaded, well, you can get a shower chair. If it's a sensory issue because you don't like feeling cold, you can get a heater. And these seem so simple, but we've never given ourselves permission to just ask ourselves what we need to make something easier to do. Because we feel like, I think especially as women, that we have to do this kind of boring task that is unpleasant and we just have to get over it. And the idea of making something slightly more pleasurable seems silly. I should just get over it. But if you make everything slightly more pleasurable, slightly less boring, slightly less irritating, it's going to have this overall effect of you not feeling as paralyzed, not doing as much procrastination. And I always tell people that there are men being paid six-figure salaries to go into Amazon warehouses and do this process to shave seconds off of systems. And yet, when a woman talks about doing it in their home, she's lazy and she should just do it. She should just hush. Mm-hmm. No, like we're all overwhelmed. There's not enough time in the day. I have recaptured hours of my time by shaving small seconds off of these home task systems. I have reclaimed so much time that I would spend procrastinating and avoiding by just making it easier for me to engage in those tasks. Mm-hmm.
I love the whole spirit of make hard things easier. And that's just, and that kind of leads me to where they can start. Because if they're in that place of overwhelm, if they really don't have much of any systems, I mean, I'm thinking similar to where you felt like you were after the birth of your second child. I really relate. I felt like I had that kind of year last year after the birth of a child too. But it doesn't have to be about that. Like you talked about mental health, addiction, pain. I mean, there's things within our relationships or finances that can make it a really hard for us to function and show up to our spaces. So where would you advise that they start?
Yeah. So the first step is to stop judging yourself for it being hard. What if that's just okay? What if even though you don't understand why or how, or you think it makes you kind of pathetic, like you just admitted like, man, it's hard to brush my teeth consistently. Yeah. Or man, I really dislike getting in the shower. Or man, I walk by that laundry every day and it's just like nails on a chalkboard to make myself fold those clothes, right? It doesn't matter what it is. Just give yourself non-judgmental permission to go, yeah, that task sucks. And it shouldn't suck, but it does suck. And it sucks so bad I avoid it and I procrastinate and I don't do it. And then the second thing I think is asking yourself, again, what's the function? And then what's the smallest step that I can take to move in that direction? One sort of tip that I use when you're someone who gets overwhelmed with a lot of mess is instead of thinking about, oh my gosh, there are thousands of things here, I think if you will tell yourself there are only five things in any room and then go down that list of five. And so the first is trash, dishes, laundry, things that have a place that are not in that place, and then things that don't have a place yet. And this is how I tackle any room. It's important to understand that there is a huge difference between tidying, cleaning, and organizing. And most of us don't realize that, which is why when we go to quote unquote clean something, we're doing like a mix of the three.
Yes.
And then we're not getting anywhere. And we feel like we've been cleaning for hours and we look up and there's not enough progress and we're, you know, frustrated and we're discouraged. But cleaning is the process of removing like dirt and grime. You have to wipe surfaces down to do that, right? Or, you know, vacuuming or sweeping or dusting, that's cleaning. Tidying is putting items away in the spot where they are supposed to be living, like where they permanently live out of the way, right? Organizing is making the spaces where things are put away the most sort of like effective, efficient way. And so what people do a lot is that they try to organize and tidy at the same time. And it doesn't work because tidying is the act of putting things away. Organizing will always include taking things out.
Yes.
Right? So you pick something up and you go, oh, this goes in my bedroom. And you go to your bedroom and you open your drawer and you go, oh, well, I guess there's not really a lot of room because there's too many things in here, but I guess I should only keep these things. So let me take these things out and you have a bigger, right? So let's just talk about tidying. Tidying is how you just get a room livable. And when you tidy, there are only five things. Like I said, trash, dishes, laundry, things that have a place and things that don't have a place. And you get your little trash bag or your little trash can or your trash can on wheels, your little grabber, and you just pick up all the trash that you can find until it's up. And then you can get a laundry basket or even a laundry basket on wheels. And you just pick up all of your laundry. We don't need to go do the laundry. We don't need to take it anywhere. We just need to get it up into the basket. And then let's go by, let's get our dishes, and let's take all the dishes from the house and put it into the sink and leave them there. And then move on to all the things that have a place, right? You know the difference between picking something up off the ground and your brain going, oh, the deodorant, that goes on my counter, and my, versus picking stuff off the ground and going, okay, this is my Kindle. I guess I could put this on my, right? And yeah. All of a sudden there's like this stress ball in your head because you're like, oh, I don't know what to do with this, and you feel stuck. So we're just going to focus on the things that we know have a place, because you can turn your brain off as you put those things away. If you come across something that doesn't have a place, you don't quite know where to put it, you just put it in a little pile. At the end of the day, then you have this pile. Then you can sit down and think about, do I need all of this? Where should I organize this? Where should I put this? Or you can go, now I need a nap, and put it to the side. And so that's a really easy process that most people can kind of latch onto when they have kind of a big mess in front of them.
Okay, that is so fantastic and makes so much sense, especially with the categories. And I'm even thinking bigger picture, if they think laundry or dishes, like the systems wise, if they're like, oh, I have no systems, I'm thinking back to what you started with, and it was laundry, right? Or, you know, so is it just picking one and starting there?
Yeah, it is a process of experimentation and recognizing that if you try a system and it doesn't work, it is not you who have failed. It means the system doesn't work for you. Systems for your home will operate relatively easily if they're the right kinds of systems and if you have the right kind of support, right? Okay. So you might, you're meeting yourself in the middle. So you might need some medication. You might need some therapy. You might need some support or some help or some outsourcing. Yeah. And we want to make our environment accessible, right? And so some things that I think work well is sometimes it's downsizing your wardrobe. Sometimes it's going down, if there's fewer pieces, you're not as overwhelmed with the laundry process. It's everything is quicker to wash, to dry, to put away. You're not as stressed out in the morning when you go to pick something to work. When I downsized my wardrobe to what could fit in one load of laundry, it was a night and day difference, because now I can do all of my clothes in one day and they'll be done, as opposed to at any given point, I have some clothes clean and some in the laundry and some of the, and I don't know where anything is. And so I think that's a big one. And if you're someone that maybe your weight fluctuates a lot, you don't know, you know, you won't be able to rebuy clothes, or you're just not ready to let go, you can fake a downsize. You can pick out the things that you have reasonably worn for the last 3 months, right? Oh yeah, I'm actually just like rotating between 7 shirts for the past 3 months, right? And you can put everything else in a bin, or move it to a different closet, put it out of sight, and be like, for right now, I'm going to deal with this downsized laundry. And then there's things you can do going forward. I'm someone who, like, when I find a shirt that fits and feels good from a sensory perspective, I buy it in 9 colors. It's less stress for me. I think that, you know, it's sometimes difficult to talk about outsourcing because, yeah, it'd be great if we all had the finances and the budget to outsource everything we wanted, and not everybody does. And however, there is a huge issue with us as women that even if we have the budget to do it, we feel like we're not allowed to, or we're not supposed to, or we don't, you know, we shouldn't, it's not that bad. We feel like we have to deserve, or there's like a level of suffering we have to be under to say, actually, I just want to send my laundry to the wash and fold, or I just want to get a housekeeper to come once a month or whatever. And there's not. You can just do that because you want to, if you have the budget. I've never met a woman who feels guilty for taking their car to get the oil changed. They're never like, oh, I should be doing this myself. But I have met a lot of women that feel like, well, I can't take my laundry to a wash and fold. I should be doing it myself.
Yeah, I get that all the time. That's what I want women to take away, is if you are in a space where the systems aren't in place and the home is not functioning, start with what Casey shared today, with not judging that it's hard. Let's just start there. Stop judging that it's hard, because it is, and it's valid. It's valid that it's hard for you. And with that, have the courage to be creative and just start somewhere. Try something. And with that mindset, you can do so much. And I was wondering, if there's one thing you can do, only one thing, what would that be?
I would say that the best thing you can do for this process is to embrace self-compassion. And self-compassion is very different than self-esteem. Self-esteem requires that you like yourself and think good things about you. Mm. And self-compassion, you don't have to like yourself. You do not have to care about you to care for you. Don't have to like yourself at all. You don't have to be any better. You don't have to be worthy to make the choice to recognize when you are speaking cruelly to yourself and shamefully to yourself, and instead speak compassionately to yourself and say, yeah, I'm having a hard time. People have hard times. Sometimes I can find actually a happy thing, right? I can look at my walls that maybe are a little smudged and have crayon on them and go from, ugh, I wish my home looked like XYZ, and go to, you know what? I have such creative kids that are growing up in a home where they're not scared to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's, okay, what could this mess mean about me, right? There's all these boxes in the hall. Oh, I'm so lazy. Okay, but what else could it mean? Could it also mean that I'm a mom who thinks about what we need and is on top of ordering the things that we need? That's why there's so many boxes, because I know when we're going to need dog food. I know when they need new swimsuits. I know that's why those are there. And you can't always turn a negative message into something great and positive, but compassion frees us to be creative and find ways that work for us and to make things functional. And shame paralyzes us and freezes us and makes us want to hide and not ask for help and not think creatively.
I've had so many light bulbs and things I can do from here that I just want to thank you. What an amazing conversation. I want to also make sure we direct people to both your book and your podcast, because what we've talked about today truly is the tip of the iceberg on how you help people, including mental health, which we weren't able to touch on even as much as we could have. And that could have deserved a whole other conversation. So can you tell us where you want them to go and what they can check out?
Yeah. So my book is called How to Keep House While Drowning. It's a gentle guide to cleaning and organizing. It's a short read. It's also an audiobook. And my podcast is called Struggle Care, where we cover those topics and more, all about mental health and wellness and self-care without shame and without prescription.
Beautiful. Casey, this has been so phenomenal. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna stop the recording here. So good. I hope this episode gave you the hug and kick in the pants you need to grow. I will now share the progress pointers. These are the notes I took, so you don't have to. And those on my newsletter get them in a graphic form each week. You can sign up at aboutprogress.com/newsletter. Number one, the goal for maintaining a home is that it is a functional space, period. If it's not functioning well for you, then it deserves coming up with those creative systems. Ask, what would work for me to have a more functional home? Number two, the levels of functionality are baseline, which is a safe and sanitary level. Next is comfort, which is, are you able to use that space in a way you'd like? Then it's about pleasure and removing stress. Pay attention to your experience with that space and that task and how well they are working for you. Number three, think of your spaces and tasks as part of cycles. The key is to be turning the cycles frequently enough so that they function, but not so rapidly that you are constantly stressed. Number four, do something out of the box tips are get tools on wheels like garbage cans or stools or laundry baskets, use a grabber, have a dirty dish rack, and more. Ask yourself what you need to do to make a hard thing easier, slightly more pleasurable, and a little less boring. Number five, start by stopping judging yourself for it being hard. Ask yourself what's the function and what's the smallest step you can take to help that function. Own the differences between cleaning, tidying, and organizing, and stick to only one of those at a time. Your Do Something Challenge for this week is to practice self-compassion. I know that you hear me say that a lot here, but it's really nice to have that supported by a therapist. You can honestly tell you it does not work to lead by shame. Make sure you check out Casey's podcast and her book. And I also want to reference two About Progress episodes we have had that are related to this topic. One is about my philosophy with cleaning, which is cleanish, and I share a lot of practical tips there. We will link to that. And also, a recent one we did on how to make time for yourself, which is really important for those of us who are feeling just constantly in that Groundhog Day, and we just need a little bit more of a break more often. This show is listener supported. That means thanks to you, we are able to keep going regardless of what happens with our podcast ads, which are always up in the air. We have some fun things coming up with the supporters. We're going to be taking a hike soon, so stay tuned if you're a supporter for some details on that. And we're going to be doing an online event of Sourdough 101 once we get to 200 supporters for all supporters. My favorite benefit of being a supporter is the More Personal Premium podcast. We recently did episode 1 of my British Royal Women and perfectionism in them, and it was really awesome to create that, and I'm really looking forward to sharing part 2. You can sign up at aboutprogress.com/support, and just so you know, you can always support this show for free. Simply share this episode with someone you love. Thank you so much for listening. Now go and do something with what you learned today. Or more functional cleanup. A more functional cleanup. I'm going to say it one more time. Sorry, it's because my 6-year-old is coming up the stairs. So I'm just like, sorry, my husband's going to go and get him.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.